Thank you, Jesus. Father, I want to come before you right now, and I want to bless our pastor. I want to come before you and ask you to fill her with your spirit this morning. She's been preparing. She's asking you to lead her and guide us. And Father, we ask that you would open our ears and our hearts to hear the message you have for us today. Father, we are your children because we're led by your spirit. And Father, you're taking care of us, and you're leading us, and you're feeding us. So today I pray, as we come to the banquet table, we get fed with what we need in our spirits and our souls. Touch Marquita and give her your peace, your grace, your strength, and thank you for her faithfulness, Lord. We lift you up this morning and ask you to be glorified, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sue. Good morning, loved ones.
Woo.
How my peeps today?
Woo.
It is. Am I too close? Right in it, right? Okay, I'm in it. Hallelujah. Hey Zoom land, how's everybody this morning? It's good to see you guys. It's been a minute since I've had the privilege of actually being here and looking into your wonderful faces, and I'm grateful to the Lord for every last one of you. Speaking of grateful, it helps if I can see. As you know, as some of you may have known, our own Stephanie Mari, she has served us over the last year or so as our lead deacon. And you may have heard that she has recently stepped down from that position. And so what I want to do right now is just read you Stephanie's official resignation from that position. Give me one second. Okay, she has addressed this specifically to the staff, but I want to share it with all of you today. And she writes, "Good evening, FWC staff. I am reaching out to let you all know what the Lord is doing in the Maori family. Some of you know that at the beginning of the summer, we felt the Lord calling us to prepare for a move. We thought perhaps a move down south, but that was a no for the moment. Matt and I sought the Lord and both felt we should continue to prepare our hearts and our home for whatever this move may be. 3 weeks ago, the Lord spoke clearly that my time as your lead deacon was over. My hope and petition had been to stay till the end of the year, but the Lord was clear that that was not in his plan. Last Tuesday, I gave the board my immediate resignation. This decision was both difficult, I love you all dearly, and exciting. I know the Lord has called us for a reason. I have enjoyed serving with you all this past year, and I know the Lord will continue the great work he has begun in all of us. And I am confident that he will lead the Maoris and FWC in the direction he has planned for his glory. Please feel free to reach out if you have any questions. Regardless of our physical location, you will always be in our hearts and part of our family. Love and blessings, Steph and Matt." And so I want to encourage you today, if you wish to, please feel free to reach out to the Maoris. And in Sunday's coming, I'm not sure exactly when, but we will be formally, I guess, decommissioning? How does that work? We're going to be sending her off. Thank you. We're going to be praying over her and Matt and sending them off into whatever adventure God has called them to. I'm requesting to meet with the elders and the deacons tomorrow evening for about an hour of prayer. We'll do it on Zoom, and I'll send you guys an email link. But I would love for us to get ready, get together and pray over this position. Because, you know, if the Lord is calling Stephanie away, then he's calling someone else into. Okay? And so we want to be sensitive and we want to be discerning as to who that individual will be. So thank you again, Steph and Matt. We love you so much. And we will be praying for you as you go. I'm grateful for the Maoris. I'm grateful for you guys. Now, those of you who are my friends on Facebook, where are my friends on Facebook? My Facebook peeps, right? Right. You all know my love of the page, The Bible is Funny. I love that page. They basically set up a life situation or scenario, and then they fill it in with scripture, and it is hilarious. And my favorite from this week was stores full of Christmas stuff, playing Christmas music. Thanksgiving, I am forgotten, Psalm 31, verse 12. It's awesome. I love this site. But only in America will we set aside a whole day, actually a four-day weekend, in order to give thanks, but we're barely done giving thanks before we're running out to buy more stuff we don't need. America. But we don't want to skip over Thanksgiving, so we're going to talk this morning about giving thanks. I actually went to get a dictionary definition of the word gratitude. I know it sounds like I'm overstating the obvious, but I'm going to do it anyway. According to the Oxford Dictionary, gratitude is the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. Well, you might look at me and say, well, we're God's people. We know all about that. Yeah, I know we do, but it doesn't hurt to be reminded, does it? Especially at this season of Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving begins the holiday season for us. And I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm getting older, but I keep observing. I laugh when I observe people trying to be merry for Christmas. You're stressed out of your mind, but you are determined to have a good time as you grit your teeth through this process. It's hard because we, of course, being who we are, we make it about stuff that it doesn't need to be about. But just a few things I want us to consider when we talk about a grateful heart. That posture of heart in which we are not only appreciative, but ready to show kindness in return. The first thing I want you to note is that a grateful heart is inherent in the law of love. What's the law of love? Well, it begins in Mark chapter 12 at verse 28 when Jesus is approached by a Sadducee. The gentleman overheard him in a discussion with others and liked the answer that he gave. And so he came to Jesus and he wanted to know, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus doesn't miss a beat. He answers him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. What is known as the Shema. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And that is where gratitude begins. He goes on to say, and the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And from at this point, Jesus is quoting directly from the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 18. There is no other commandment greater than these. This is the law of love. It is love, not just emotional love. There may be emotional affection, and that's good too, but it doesn't have to be emotive at all. It is the decision we make to do what is right by other people for no other reason than our shared humanity. And if we start at a basis of love, there are other things that are required that will come more easily. Submission. Ephesians 5, I believe it's 21, that says, submit yourselves one to another. We rush to the house rules, but I'm going to bring us back a little bit. This is not just about husbands and wives. This is about us as believers. And the context for this submission is, if you read Ephesians 5, be imitators of God. Like dear children. Just like you see little kids imitate mommy and daddy. So you and I are called upon to imitate the Father in his love and submit ourselves one to another. Love will make you do things that you might not want to do. And at the risk of stirring the pot, I'm going to say it out loud. It's the reason I wear the mask. I've had at least 2 close calls with this virus. I don't know if you knew that or not. And frankly, I could not live with myself. If something happened to one of you, because I was careless. I love you too much not to wear the mask. And in the same way that love inspires a desire to care well for, so it inspires a grateful heart. Think about it. Why do you love God? Why do any of us love God? Where is the starting place for loving the Lord? Somebody tell me, anybody, please. Thank you. Oh, you got that right out of the gate, brother. Good job. Good job. Because he loved us first. The love fest, this law of love begins with him. How did he love us first? Well, first of all, he created us, a creature that looks like him, the Bible says. And then he gave us dominion over the creation he had made. He shared his power with us. And we got to feeling ourselves. And feeling ourselves, we decided to rebel. And he could have just wiped us out and started over. You know that, right? But he didn't, because the Bible says of Jesus that he was the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. God had already made up his mind. I know who this creature is going to be. I know what this creature is going to do, but I'd rather die than live without him. And someone has to die for sin. And God the Son said, I'll do it myself. I'll do it. And so he comes to earth in the fullness of time in the form of a man and a baby in a manger. And I'm so glad that baby in the manger did not stay a baby. Aren't you glad he didn't stay a baby? He grew up. And he grew up knowing who he was and what he was supposed to do. And he walked among us and he preached to us. He showed us the Father in his very person, and he let us push back and fight with him and bully him and try to stone him. And eventually we crucified him. But he didn't stay dead. It is for our redemption that he rose again and now sits at the right hand of God the Father, conducting heavenly business, not the least of which is to continue to make intercession for you and I. How do we not dare say thank you? It's okay to say thank you. Say thank you, Jesus. Oh, good. Just wanted to make sure you were still awake. Paul reiterates this highest of the commandments in Romans chapter 13, verses 8 to 10. He says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. as opposed to twisting yourself in knots to keep those 613 all laid out in the Old Testament, he says, fulfill the law through love. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Because if you love your neighbor well, by the way, please note, you have to love yourself well first. And I think that's where we get our biggest problem. We are not good at loving ourselves. We are not good at caring for ourselves. And that's more than a weekend off laying in the hammock. That is more than a mani and pedi. That's not self-care. Self-care is creating for yourself a life that you don't feel the need to escape from. You can live it and live it to its fullest. So if you love yourself well, you can love your neighbor well. And in so doing, Paul says, fulfill all of the commandments. Gratitude is born out and inspired by the law of love. Secondly, a grateful heart is part of our moral obligation. It is required of us as people who walk with the Lord and want to do the right thing. In Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2, the Bible tells us it is good to give thanks to the Lord. It's a good thing. As Martha Stewart would say, it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. And to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. That is the life that I wish to live. A life that is pleasing to God and ready, stands in readiness to offer up thanksgiving and to offer up praise because he loved me first. It's the very least I owe him. Paul warns us of the day that we would live in. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, he writes, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves," not lovers of themselves in the good way, "but lovers of themselves above everything and all else. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents," oh wait, "unthankful," that's in this list, "unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." Wait for it. "Having a form of godliness." Now, in this list, we can easily look out the window and look at the world and go, oh yeah, that's them. I'm going to ask you to turn from the window and look inside for a minute. Because Paul tells us they will have a form of godliness. They will look godly, but denying its power. Why do they need the power of godliness if they have the applause of the world, the resources of the world? They don't need it. And from such people, Paul says, turn away. Turn away. And I remember as I was reading this, I remembered it was in Scripture and went to find it. And I thought, wow, of all the terrible things that human beings will do and be in the last day, unthankful is among the list. Have you ever done something for someone who just wasn't grateful? Have you ever? Yeah. We've all done it. You know, somehow they posture themselves as somehow it's our entitlement, it's their entitlement for us to do. Really? You ever handed somebody something and they took it and then you said, "You're welcome." There's a way of being sarcastic. "You're welcome." Because I didn't want to say thank you. That makes us feel some kind of way, right? Let it not once be named among us. I know this congregation. We try to be good to each other. Right? We're good to each other. Because we love each other. And wherever there is opportunity to treat someone well, don't we jump at it? We jump at it for Jesus' sake. There are all kinds of things. Again, that law of love that will inspire in us. I know sometimes people could be offended by the things I say. You should hear the stuff I keep to myself. Well, between me and Jesus anyway. Yeah. It's like you not only does this grateful heart make you do it, will also refrain you from doing. Refrain you from saying. Keep you from acting in a way that will do hurt or harm to another because of love and because of Jesus and in gratitude to Jesus. I am required to treat you some kind of way, in the best possible way, wherever I have opportunity. Do good to all men, and especially, Paul says, especially the household of faith. So a grateful heart is our moral obligation. We give gratitude because it is the right thing to do. We do it because it is right, and especially as unto the Lord. Now, here's the part. Here's the crux of the matter. In times of adversity, how many of you have ever known adversity? Yeah, some of us could tell you something about adversity. In times of adversity, a grateful heart can mean the difference between life and death of your soul. And I don't say that to be dramatic or to use hyperbole. It literally can be the difference between life and death of your soul. Because when you're between a rock and a hard place, and I'm just going to say it, I have not always lived in comfortable, affluent Orange County. I grew up in the borough of Queens, New York, and spent many of my early years in South Jamaica housing projects. And in the churches that I attended, we used to have what we call a testimony service. And people would stand up, giving honor and glory to God, honor and glory to the pastor, to the elders, to the bishop, to the mothers. I want to thank God. And these were people who were thanking God for things like the fact that the lights were still on. They were thanking God for things like there was literally no food in the refrigerator. And somebody knocked on the door and said, "The Lord told me to bring you groceries." These were the kind of testimonies. These were people who were working two jobs in many cases, and there was no such thing as extra money because everything you made went to living. But I watched these folks rise up out of themselves and out of the things they were going through to say, "But I thank God." Even when prayer had not yet been answered, "But I thank God. I thank God because he has come through for me before and he will come through for me again because that is who he is." People, this is where your Ebenezers come in, right? Remember in 1 Samuel chapter 7, Samuel was the last judge of Israel. He was also a prophet and a priest, and he had called the people together to repent of their sins and cry out to the Lord. And during this time of consecration, as they were fasting and praying, and Samuel was praying for them, the enemy of Israel decided to rear its ugly head. Isn't that just like the devil? In a time of consecration, and the people cried out and said to Samuel, please, please, don't stop praying for us. Please entreat the Lord for us. And sure enough, God heard them, and he answered, and he routed, I believe it was the Philistines that were coming upon them, and they were able to chase them off easily. And the Bible says that Samuel took a rock, and he set it up. And he said of this rock, he named this rock, here too has the Lord helped us. This is the place in which God has helped us. See, this is what I love about the Old Testament. This is throughout the Old Testament, you will see people building altars and setting up altars are not just places of sacrifice and places of worship. They are also memorials. And I'm calling on us today in this season of Thanksgiving to set up a monument, to set up your memorials, to think back, especially in a hard season. And God knows this has been a hard season. I'm trying to avoid magical thinking. I don't believe in the hocus pocus of the turn of the calendar and all things are new. And yet, mentally and emotionally, you know, you hear people say, I can't wait till this year is over. You know, again, one of my little Facebook memes, I'm going to sit up until after midnight on December 31st, not so much to welcome the new year in, but to make sure that this year leaves. Okay. Everybody, poor 2020, everybody's sick of 2020. Yes, it's hard. But set up your Ebenezers. And what this is going to require us to do, the first thing we're going to have to do is get up out of our feelings. I'm sick of people's feelings. I'm sick of my feelings. Spending days feeling some kind of way because, you know, I'm shut in, I'm locked down, I can't go, I can't do, I can't. Stop. Just stop. Get up out of the negativity of your feelings, because they will poison your spirit. I'm going to say it again. Complaining will poison your spirit. It's not worth it. And I know it's hard, especially when you are legitimately feeling some kind of way. But do yourself, do us all a favor and get up out of your feelings. And once you are up out of your feelings, start to think about how good God has been to you. Because I'm going to tell you a secret, and feel free to share it. God is going to be good no matter what. God hasn't stopped being good. God has not stopped being God because there's a pandemic. God has not stopped being who he is in his essential character because we feel some kind of way about a pandemic. He hasn't stopped being the Lord who provides just because you've lost your job. Has anybody here missed a meal? I haven't. And I know it's hard. But I think about Job. You know how I feel about Job. Job demanded an audience with God. There is no good reason for me to go through what I'm going through. I haven't lived that kind of wickedness. God, what is going on? Please show up. God shows up, and he never answers the why question. He starts asking Job questions. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? Did I take any counsel with you? Did I ask you how to do this? And what I hear God doing is lifting Job's head out of his circumstances. Excuse me. Thank you. I see God lift Job's head up out of his circumstances and helping him see the bigness of his God. Start to build your Ebenezers, those monuments of thanksgiving, when God has been good to you, when God has come through for you. Don't ruminate on the prayers that haven't been answered yet. Think about those times where God has kept his promise. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Begin thinking about those times where God has kept his promise. Work. Do I look like I'm about to pass out? You know what? You ain't wrong, bro. You ain't wrong. Let me sit down just in case. Can they see me? Start to build your monuments. Your monuments of... Yeah, it's 2020. Look at that. Can you see me? Yay. Start to build your monuments. Remember your Ebenezers. Remember what God has done in the past. It will help you to get through today's adversity. A grateful heart, hear me, loved ones, a grateful heart will save your life. It will save your life. Turn with me in your Bibles. In fact, stand with me. And then turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 118. It's one of the many places where we hear this refrain. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And his mercy, his chesed, his covenant faithfulness and loyalty endure forever. See, God's going to keep covenant even when we don't. Psalm 118 at verse 1. Let's read it together. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, let those who fear the Lord now say, I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can men do to me? The Lord is for me. Excuse me, sorry. The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. His steadfast love endures forever. It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. Loved ones, build your Ebenezers of thankfulness to the Lord. Thankfulness, a grateful heart, will truly save our lives. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for you, for what you're doing in us and what you're doing for us. We ask that you have your way in our midst. And we thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen.